Welcome back. 9:12 here on this Thursday morning. Sens game day Thursday morning with JR, Simmer, and Hammer. We're here until 10 o'clock. Steve Lloyd and Chris Stevenson take over after that with In the Box. Lee and AJ are on the drive this afternoon. AJ's got your pregame show tonight at 5 o'clock. And then Dean and Gord with the call of the game. Sens face a nice test tonight with the Carolina Hurricanes in town. We'll tell you who is up to play in that game in just a second. But first, we want to congratulate Lori Egan. Lori was lucky texter number 65. And Lori, did you talk to Lori Hammer? Yes. I'm assuming Lori is a woman, but there are some
men
named Lori.
Lori Boschman.
Yes, correct. Thank you, Simmer. Lori's a woman?
Lori is a woman.
All right. Congratulations to you, Lori. Not that it matters.
She is excited.
Was she? Well, I guess so.
God,
she won $100 from Gabriel Pizza. It's part of our big game contest. So, Lori, enjoy the eats. Hopefully you can save them for Super Bowl Sunday for the big game, but if you can't...
I did not get that sense.
No, it's going this weekend?
I got the sense as soon as she has it,
it's
getting used.
Okay. Yeah, and right now with the cold weather, guys, we've been going with the large meat lovers, extra crispy.
Oh, good.
And
God,
it just honestly...
What does extra crispy mean?
Oh, it means it's extra crispy.
A little well done.
Like you actually, like when you call them,
absolutely.
Can I have
the
meat lovers? Can I have the meat extra?
No,
crispy?
No, the pizza. No, obviously the
just cook it a little
I don't,
bit longer.
I don't like soggy pizza, JR.
Okay.
So, now, one of the keys, though, and what you have to do as well, just a recommendation, if you go thin crust and you get extra crispy on any pizza, it can be a little on the dry side. So just go with the natural one and then get that extra crispy, and it just gets the bacon to that special spot, right, where it's nice and not dry, but just perfect. So anyways, recommend it.
Your next chance to win comes up on In the Box after 10. Another chance this afternoon on the drive between 2 and 5. Okay, we mentioned that the Sens with the Batherson injury and also with Gambrell being out at least a week, we're going to have to make at least one recall. And it would appear, judging by the game sheet, as we speculated earlier this morning, Simmer, it is Igor Sokolov that has gotten the call. Mm-hmm. To come up, and it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play. Could be called up to be the spare, but I think he's going to play his last five games playing down in Belleville. 5 goals in his last 5 games, so he's carrying a hot stick.
Yeah.
We saw him a little bit earlier this year play 4 games. Now, it didn't get on the score sheet, but I would, I don't know, do you put him right up on one of the top 2 lines? Do you play to his strength, which is the offensive side of his game, and give him an opportunity to succeed, or does people at the bottom get bumped up? And he kind of slots in more in a fourth line role.
I don't know who the hell you're bumping up, JR. No, I very sincerely, a couple of things. Not in the here and now, but as we get talking about Kuzmenko and free agents and everything else, there is no doubt when I kind of look at the Ottawa's roster and where things are headed. Well, I'm trying him with Stutzla and Formanton. I mean, the speed, the combination, and what would be a nice mix on that side would be a nice power forward. So, absolutely slide him right in there and kind of wonder where his game is at. So, like I said, I'm excited. And you speculated. I wasn't sure. So, full marks to you. But that's another reason to tune in tonight. Excited to see him along with Mr. Thompson. And again, just the test. And what do you think? And do you feel MJ's whole kind of protect Murray at this point? Or you just feel like, hey, man,
that's a great
get
question.
In there. I'm way more of, hey, I don't know like how much more you can go along. And in a week from now, he's had a couple of real good games. And again, I'd kind of go back to the athlete. I just really hope, JR, that he'd be up for the challenge. And if he gets lit up against Carolina, hey, they can score. You know, they're a good quality team. Now, if you don't play well, it's something different. But I'd really think, man, I hope he would embrace that. And I don't look at the negative side of it. It's just, hey, you're a little overwhelmed right now. This is a real good team. You've got a bunch of injuries. I just think it'd be a great test. And just his teammates, you know, and you're trying to get some traction here. And if he was hungry and excited to play and he plays with the aggression we saw in the last 2 starts, JR, I'd be pretty pleased.
You know, we already have our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you put the question, which I posed you earlier this morning, on your own personal Twitter.
Okay.
And by the end of the show, we'll have a pretty good sense of
what's... So who you start tonight?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And let me go through, because you kind of alluded to it, but let me go through kind of the reasoning behind. First of all, you got Matt Murray coming off the shutout. Mm-hmm. His last 4 games have been really, really good. 3 wins and an overtime loss, the game in Washington, in which he looked really good. Statistically, .938 save percentage in those 4 games. You've got your, what you hope will be, your number one goalie, the guy you traded for and gave all the money to, probably playing as close to as well as he's played. Short sample size. But on the flip side, you've got Carolina in town, and the last time Ottawa played Carolina, Anton Forsberg absolutely stole that game. It was right after they lost their worst game of the season against Vancouver. The season was threatening to get away on them. And he went down to Carolina the night after the Vancouver game, 47 saves in a 3-2 win in Carolina that has kickstarted Ottawa. And I did the math. Their record, including that game in their last 16 games, is 9-5-2. Now, I'm not saying it was all because of that game, but Forsberg was a huge part in getting a very unexpected victory. So he's got, and he played well in his last game, the 2-1 win over Columbus.
Played great.
So I think it's a, I think it's a, debatable point. DJ Smith has at times, kind of when you think he's going to go one way with the goalies, he does go the other. So I don't think it's a cut and dry, absolutely Murray goes in there.
Yeah.
I can see the argument, but if they started Forsberg tonight, it would not shock me as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And kind of then you think next phase of, if Forsberg comes in, stands on his head, is it automatic that you play Murray against Anaheim? And then if Murray doesn't play well there, it is. But I just really, JR, looking at this.
I get your point. Your point should be that Matt Murray should go into the coach's office today and say, I want the net tonight.
Well, and again, now I would have even wanted to play in Columbus. I understand there's times where, and again, I really believe they've showing him tough love versus trying to, hey, this is, we got to get going here. If this was the very first game where he's come back, I understand that. But after a couple of real nice starts, and I was just really impressed, JR. I'm used more, hey, I'm not necessarily trying to challenge you or make you look bad. I'm more like, hey, I'm excited for you to get in there and play tonight. So, and also to that Forsberg one in Carolina, we'll call that very Hamburglarian, right? That was one of those ones that you just didn't.
Trademarking Hamburglarian?
Well, yeah, I hope I even said
trademark.
I hope I got it out of the word hole properly. But it was just, like you said, it was so unexpected. Everything was pointing to an absolute massacre, right? I mean, it just, and that was when the Hamburglar thing whole started. You're just, oh my God, where's this going to go? And all of a sudden, so yeah, valid argument. My spidey senses, I'm feeling, I think it would be a bad signal to both Murray and the rest of the team personally.
Yes.
If you didn't play him tonight.
I agree. I think you have to play Matt Murray tonight.
Yeah, I do.
I can see the reasoning behind Forsberg again, and coaches will often defer to the guy that's hot against the team you're playing that night. We have seen that and playing hunches and all that stuff. And I think DJ Smith has done that in the past. But I think, and again, I don't know where Matt Murray's mind is, but I would think he would A, want the net, and B, I think the Ottawa Senators and their coaching staff would want him to have the net tonight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then they may even just say, hey, and Zach Burke could be involved in it, JR, is that, hey, this is a real good test. And you just shouldn't be at this point, as I said, JR, for any reason. You should not, I don't think, be using the mentality to protect somebody or worry about it. You know, you're paying some serious freight to a guy. He's come out of a couple of real good games. Hey, he's got to face one of the best teams in the NHL.
All right. So Sens and Canes tonight, 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock will be the pregame show. You got your question up yet, or you want to wait till the break?
I already got it.
Okay. So we'll get a sense of kind of how Sens fans are feeling about it. I'm actually interested to see how this vote will go. I'm thinking it would go Matt Murray's way, but maybe your people are thinking.
Yeah.
And again, what I hope they realize. I don't know. How did you frame the question? Did you say that Forsberg had the great game against Carolina?
I left it at that. Hopefully they're listening as well. And also want to give a shout out to Hammer and Dan. They've opened up their house for the weekend, JR, for any of the truckers coming into town. So just DM me and it'll be a free stay, free meal.
Well, we know the street's been plowed.
Yeah,
and apparently they clean his street before any street in Ottawa three times.
Yeah, and Hammer's gonna put his vehicles down at the local school, so there's also free parking. Just don't bring your trailer.
I can't get my own car in my garage.
Don't bring your trailer.
Why do you think I've got room for a tractor trailer?
Just your caboose or whatever your main thing that you ride in, whatever that's called. No trailers.
RDB writes on text at 12-1200, hey, gents, kudos to Simmer for bringing it today. The Sens' lack of aggression in their response to Dell and the Sabres is the most embarrassing statement made by the team since Melnick's comments in the outdoor game. Players in dressing rooms across the NHL were probably shaking their heads and laughing at the fact that the Sens basically turned the other cheek and skated away with their tails between their legs. Kind of goes on from there, but that's from RDB.
Yeah. And Jer, I don't want to get carried away one way or another.
That's ridiculous in my opinion.
Well, it is.
Go ahead.
But my also, anybody that thinks that they walked out of the arena that night and being like, we showed them and we beat them 5-0, be honest. Like, come on. It's neither that, nor is it that they, you know, were embarrassed. It lies somewhere in between. And I'm only giving Sean Simpson's opinion. But like I say, this isn't the old playoff game where, hey, let's take numbers for the regular season next year. It's an important game. We won on the scoreboard, so we won, which is, hey, that's important in a playoff. That's not what happens in late January, and the Buffalo Sabres are here on a Tuesday night. So it's neither of those points. It's somewhere in between, and all I do is offer my opinion.
All right, 922, continue to share your thoughts. Bunch of stuff going on this morning. I want to touch on, again, the news, if you missed it from last night. The Ottawa Redblacks releasing kick returner, punt returner, most outstanding player in the CFL this year, Devontae Dedmon, was released last night, and he will be signing a contract with the Miami Dolphins after trying out for several teams, including the Packers, the Bears, the Jags, the Chargers. I think there was one or two others, and the Dolphins. He'll be signing a contract with the Dolphins. And again, this will be there. There are many players that are signed in offseason by NFL teams. There will be, I'll presume, a signing bonus. That's one of the reasons that he would give up what he has guaranteed here in Ottawa, is he would want this the signing bonus for sure, but also the opportunity, even at a practice squad level, to make more money in the NFL than you would in the Canadian Football League. But for a bunch of different reasons, it's a disappointing but not unexpected turn of events. I think when we started hearing that he was having some tryouts, that the expectation is that somebody was going to like what they saw and look at the tape, even though it's a completely different brand of football up here, and go, we got to at least give this guy a tryout and see what he can do in the return game. Devontae Dedmon, absolutely a fan favorite for many reasons. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a whole lot to tune in this past year. It was not a very good year for Redblacks football, but he was the most exciting player in the league. Mm-hmm. Three return touchdowns this year, two the year before that, five in total in 16 games, the fastest that any player has reached five touchdowns, faster than Gizmo Williams, the greatest returner in CFL history. All of that and just a fantastic guy. I want to take you to a post-game show. This is after the Argos game in early November when he had a return touchdown in that game. Devontae Dedmon on with Lee and Duke, and this is how it sounded in the post-game show.
I love this organization. It took a chance on a guy from William & Mary. I got sent home, came back, and it's been a journey, but I love the city, man, and there's no other place I'd rather be. So I knew I had to come back and do what I had to do, run it back with my teammates.
What's going through your mind right now? What are you thinking about?
I worked hard for this. My family pushed me. It's a lot. I'm just very grateful for the opportunity, and I'm just happy to be a part of this team. I know things aren't going well, but I'm never going to give up on anything, and I'm just excited to be a part of this organization.
All right, so there is Devontae Dedmon after a game for the Redblacks back in November against the Argos. It was shortly thereafter that he was signed to an extension, but as with all extensions that are signed, there is the opportunity, if you have a one-year contract, to opt out for the team to release you and to try out for NFL teams, and if they offer you a contract, this is the situation. So I'm hoping, beyond hope, this is my personal opinion, that people, that Redblacks fans in particular, are, you know, again, disappointed, but happy for the guy. I mean, this is why football players come up from the States. In a lot of cases, they got, you know, they don't have a lot of a resume. They're coming up. We get the transactions list every day from the Redblacks. Every day during the season, before the season, there's four or five guys on there. We brought up this guy from Northwest, Midwest, Tennessee State, never heard of, and you know it's their last chance at making it in professional football and a chance to earn a living, in a lot of cases, from guys that are from disadvantaged backgrounds, an opportunity to better themselves and to provide for their family, and you do that, yes, if you play in the Canadian Football League, but certainly if you can get down to the NFL.
Yeah.
And boy, it's my feeling, I am sad that he won't be playing for the Redblacks, but yeah, man, yeah. If he plays for the Miami Dolphins and he plays for two or three seasons and earns a big bunch of money and makes some headlines, and everybody in the NFL sees what he did in the CFL, I think that's a fantastic result.
It really is, Sharon. And again, we had the fun discussion of, and I don't mind the idea of guys coming to Canada. Now, the drastic part is the rule changes, but going back, I just think it's awesome. And for that story, it is really hard to comprehend, and I think back, and I'm blanking on the quarterback that signed here and then went to the Argos in the offseason that came from Calgary, Jer. Arbuckle.
Yes.
But you know, he explained that he got a phone call to go to Calgary. He was cleaning pools. His phone dropped in the pool. Like, he had no money.
Him.
Like, this fella's come out of school. He's gone back to Williamsburg, I'm assuming, with not much going, to be motivated enough to get a call. Like, if you come up and you get cut from the CFL, Jr., honestly, you probably think, forget it, right? Pack it in.
Yep.
You go home, you train, you come back, and now to go and to be in the NFL. Like, it really is. It's incredible. And unfortunately, in the United States, the football machine is incredible. What is not incredible for a lot of these players, unfortunately, is education. And for a lot, there is nothing. The highlight of their life is playing football and at even William and Mary. So, it is awesome. Now, as far as procedure, JR, is this kind of a contract that brings you to mini camp? Is that what it basically guarantees you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That would be why the level of the bonus would be interesting. Yeah. If it's big enough, I'm assuming that whatever you do at that you're at least going to get to the training camp level.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know the specifics.
And that takes
contract.
You well into July and August,
yes,
right?
Correct.
At that point, their season starts later.
So, at the very best,
if
he didn't make it with the Dolphins, and that means that some other NFL team, doesn't pick him up. I'll look at it this way, Simmer. Deontay Spencer, who we saw here in Ottawa not that long ago, who was a really good returner, has returned kicks, I think, it was Pittsburgh the first year, right? And he's been in Denver for two.
And he got waived, right? And the Broncos picked him up?
Yeah, two. Yeah. He's been the return man in Denver for at least two, if not three, seasons. Yeah. Devontae Dedmon, in my opinion, was a better returner in the Canadian game, at least. And it's a different game, but in the Canadian game than Deontay Spencer was. Yeah. So if Deontay Spencer can make it in the NFL, there's no doubt in my mind that I think that Devontae Dedmon can.
No, and it's awesome, man. Just like the NHL or anybody else, JR, I'm assuming as the NFL combs through everything, anytime you can cut a bit of cost, right? And you look at this and say, hey, here's a guy coming in on whatever the entry-level contract is, that ends up helping. And then the other part I only hope, and I don't know him well enough, JR, I hope he can stay healthy because it appeared he was fairly banged up, was he not, with Ottawa?
Yeah, that's
I don't know. I don't know the background of that, and I'm just saying, but, you know, he'll have a chance to prepare and to get excited and maybe even have that little time off, didn't have him prepared enough, where I'm sure he tried, but like I said, just think of that for anybody out there. This isn't like an NHL player where you go to the American League and you stay ready. Like, these football players go home, you know, and you're, you know, first probably week you're there, you like, don't even pull yourself off the couch. So, yeah, I could say it's really cool, and that's why I love it. I love when guys come north of the border and make it back to the NFL, because that's ultimately what most of them want to do anyway.
There's a couple of texts have come in at 12-1200. Sucks the Deadman's gone. Oh, man, this is going to be another horrible season for us. Ugh. Yeah. That comes from unsigned. It's a bad loss. Absolutely. He was he was the league's most outstanding player, and he absolutely, you know, the Ottawa had no offense this year. It was him providing field position. But they got a new general manager. Again, it's going to be a big miss. There are a lot of returners, and it just takes one guy. He may not be at that level, but as long as they find somebody who's decent, the most important thing in Ottawa is finding a quarterback, getting the offense going again, finding some skill position players. That's up to the new general manager, Sean Burke. It's up to Paul LaPolice to put his team in a better position, become a better play caller. But they got to find a quarterback, and they got to fix the offensive line. Yeah. So listen, Dedmon's a loss for sure, but I am of the belief that if these guys, it can be a decently quick fix here in Ottawa as well. Yeah. So I'm not looking at next year. And again, free agency starts next month. Yeah. We'll see who they end up signing, but I'm not writing off next year already.
Yeah, and any of the league share, it's kind of a weird mentality, and you focus on, and it's like you have a real good player in Europe, party wants to sign him, or I'll even go back to the junior mentality. I think, what was it, the Kyle Wellwood trade was made for Spezza, and the only theory was, and they'll do this in the draft sometimes, I might draft a guy that is actually going to play 4 or 5 years a junior versus a guy that's one or two and done. And for the CFL, it's such a tough thing, right? You are trying to, but you understand that any of your skilled players, and anybody for that matter, they've come up here, and the minute they, you know, the door is knocked for the NFL, not to mention financially, you know, they're going to go running, and you understand that. And it's such a balance, right, to kind of keep a good enough talent and a good enough team, but at the same time, and not that you'd have a mass exodus, but it is tough. But at the same time, if you're running a good program, you just feel great for the athlete.
The Robber Baron writes, does Ottawa retain his CFL rights? That one I'm not 100% clear on. I believe that's the case, I want to say, because even though they did release him, I think because he had a contract with Ottawa, I believe they retain his rights. But I'll text AJ just to be 100% sure.
Wasn't it also changing the rule, JR, where a few years ago you had to come up for 2 years and a lot of guys wouldn't come? Because they said, listen, you give me the one, but it was a real stupid rule of making it commit to 2 years. A lot of guys were low. I'm obviously going to stay down in the U.S. or stay on a practice roster.
Yep. All right, 9:32. We'll take a break and come back, continue to get you set for our Sens and Canes on this Ottawa Senator game day. Again, Igor Sokolov has been called up from Belleville. We'll see if he plays tonight, but we got the Sens and Canes for you tonight right here on TSN 1200. Welcome back, everybody. 9:37 on this Ottawa Senator game day. They're taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock will be our pregame show. Some breaking Sens news. They have re-signed Nick Holden to a one-year contract extension. Nick Holden, of course, acquired in the Evgeny Dadonov trade with Vegas, has come in. At a salary is about $1.5 million, Simmer, or thereabouts, his salary for this year.
The cap hit was, but yeah.
Anyway, he's provided, I think, by everybody's estimation, a very serviceable first 40 games for Ottawa. He's kind of slid in beside Artem Zub for the last few games, so they have made up a very nice second pair for Ottawa. And so as you project forward, and we'll get in more into this because we have a guest standing by, but there you go. So Nick Holden looking like he'll be part of the Ottawa Senators next season as well.
Yeah, and real smart sign at $1.3 million. Also got a text that our next guest will be in the lineup February 17 in Buffalo, and is actually training outdoors. And they've set up a series of things for him to run over as he skates around the trails.
All right. Without further ado, you asked, we listened. People want to hear from Chris Neal. At this moment in time, of course, the former Ottawa Senator joining us this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the new entrepreneur, we should say. Chris, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no. Are you outside right now, grooming the trail now that you're a businessman?
Well, actually, I am on site. I hopped into my truck to take the call, but we're here flooding the trails to get them ready for start to show up.
All right, awesome. Okay, so it's the Iceland skating trail that you now you've got some partners, and it's out in Stittsville. So is this another piece of land that you acquired? Was the whole idea that you wanted to create a skating trail with an outdoor rink? Kind of take us through that whole thing.
Well, I bought the property 15 years ago. Back when I was playing, I wanted to do 2 acre estate lots on it, and obviously there's a moratorium on it, so you know they want the building of the city out, not coming in. So I'm about 2 kilometers off Stittsville, Maine. So I've owned the property for a long time. And anyway, this is something we talked about for 4 years with, two of my buddies. And we finally said, if we're doing it, let's do it. And so anyway, we didn't really know what we were getting into when we first started, but it's turned out pretty sweet.
Neeler, how did you end up mapping it out? I guess kind of the course and the concept. I know there's some other places. Did you go on a little tour of what other people are doing?
Actually, we didn't. Google Earth. It's a magical thing. so we had to pick the trail, so it's relatively level ground through the whole area. So when you flood the trails and stuff, we have some trails through the property that it was higher ground. So, you know, we wasted a day or two here or there building those trails, and we didn't end up even using them because of the elevation of the ground. So, and it's not even a big elevation change. It's just you want the flow for the water, so whenever everything freezes, and we created windrows on the trails, and it holds the water perfect.
All right. Chris Neal is our guest here on TSN 1200. Now you've got an outdoor rink there as well. Like you couldn't have, Chris, you couldn't have scripted this any better in terms of the timing, right? Unfortunately, we went back into a lockdown, but you open up, people are looking for stuff to do. People are looking to be outdoors on a rink. Like, I mean, were you talking to Doug Ford about, hey, lock it down because I want to open this new business, or how did that all come about, the timing?
Well, honestly, the timing didn't have anything to do with it, and we weren't even really thinking about that, to be honest with you. You know, I'm a big kid myself, and I, you know, when we built this, you know, it's like a, you know, you envision yourself skating on it. And anyway, the satisfaction that we get out of it is, you know, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of hours have been put into it. But, you know, it's, when you see those kids come off and they got a big smile on their face and being able to get outdoors and still be active and doing something, you know, it's worth every effort we've put into this place. It really has been. And, you know, just for their mental health. And, you know, I know Bell Let's Talk Day was yesterday, I think it was. And, you know, that's huge for the mental health of these teenagers, the kids. And, you know, it's, you know, going forward, that's going to be a big issue down the road. And, you know, we got to start to live our life and get back to some type of normalcy, you know, in our lives. And, you know, that's huge. And I see it with my own kids. And, you know, since we've started this endeavor or this venture, my kids' screen time has been down 40%. And, you know, they're awesome. They're outdoors, they're being active. And, you know, it's just great for their mental health. They're sleeping better. And, you know, that's, I see it firsthand with my own kids.
All right, good stuff. Now, you've got, now your outdoor rink, is it a regulation like 200 by 85? I know you've got boards. I see you've got a Zamboni. Somebody told me you bought, like when they tore down the Minto, that you bought the boards there. Kind of take us through just building the outdoor rink part of what you got going.
Well, so we, when the return down Minto Arena, so we went in and we bought the NHL size rink. And anyway, it's been there for a long time. So the I-beams were built right in the concrete and it was stick framed together. That's why there was no forgiveness. So when you go to hit a guy along the boards and there's no forgiveness on the board. So they weren't any good to us. So we ended up getting the 3-on-3 rink in the back, which was 65 by 85. So we've kept the corners, and so we're 65 wide by 160 long. So it's just the NHL size, like you said, is 80 by 200. So we aren't too far off of it, but it's perfect for 4-on-4. Some of the younger kids go, you know, like a non-controlled scrimmage for 5-on-5. And, you know, so it's awesome to see. And, you know, we've had synchronized figure skating teams that we've had ring at. You know, so it's all different walks of life out there. And, you know, it's just great to see. And I think, you know, when you vision the rink, one of my movies growing up as a kid I watched was Field of Dreams with the baseball diamond in the middle of a cornfield and Legends of the Game. So, you know, like this is kind of the way it is. You drive in, there's all treed, and we've protected it from the sun. So the ice should last a good long time for us.
Weather is a big partner, Neeler. In an ideal year, when would you open up and when would you close? What do you think the shelf life is?
So obviously we're hoping to be open a little sooner this year. We could have, you know, with the weather we did have. The thing is we had some heavy machines in here with the trails and stuff. So the frost hadn't set in every single spot because we had the machines over it. But once it was able to set in, you know, the ice took awesome. We were able to open the rink sooner than the trails. It's protected really well. And, you know, we had a good base down there. So and it was something we did first before we started the trail. So the trails did take a little longer. But, you know, if weather, you know, permitted, you know, I think if we get in for March break, you know, that'd be awesome. But, you know, like you said, it's, you know, we're on weather, but we're always watching the Weather Channel for.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. All right. You need to book in advance if you want to go visit Chris Neal's Iceland Skating Trail. They've got a website. It's icelynd.com to find out more information, see some great pictures on the skating trail if you want to go check it out. All right. The other reason we want to talk to you, Chris, is that a lot of people are interested to get your opinion on what happened with the Sens the other night. I'm sure you still follow things very closely. And obviously the situation with Aaron Dell and with Drake Batherson and a lot of people debating, did the Sens respond the right way? Just let me get your thoughts on what you saw from the hit and what you thought of the events of Tuesday night.
Well, you know, obviously you don't like to see stuff like that happen. And, you know, especially one of your premier players and, you know, well, your top scorer on your team. And, you know, Drake's an unbelievable individual. And, you know, I've met him a bunch of times. He's, you know, he's been out here. He skated on the Iceland skating rink as well. So anyway, just a great person. And, you know, I know you see that happen. You don't like to see that at all. And, you know, it's you kind of he lunges at him at the start, but he's definitely intentional. And you know, I know, you know, if I'm playing there, you know, you want to get retribution, but you got to do it smart too. And that's why, you know, I played my whole career, you know, and without a suspension. You know, I know there was a couple of close calls here or there, but anyway, but in saying that, you know, there's ways to go around it, and you know, whether you know, it's not take liberties on their best player. But I always said, if I want to get a spark for my team, I'm not going to go ask their tough guy to fight. I'm going to go, you're playing Pittsburgh, you know, you're going to go, you know, try to finish your check on Crosby, knowing their tough guy is going to come. And, you know, so there is ways around it. You know, obviously, if a situation like that with a goalie, you know, you talk to your line mates and just say, hey, you know, it's you're coming down wide, just make sure you throw a little muffin in there and I can keep going right through. And, you know, so there's little ways to go around it without getting suspended. And, you know, I think something more, I think, should have happened. But in saying that, that's not today's game anymore.
Okay, so when you say throw a muffin in there and I'll go right through, what do you mean by that? You're skating through the goalie? That's what you would have done?
Yeah, like crash the net. And, you know, whether the pegs go off or you put them right through the end boards, you know, that's, I'm just going to the net hard. And, you know, that's what you say to them. They call you about it. And you see guys crash the net all the time. If you get a 2-minute penalty, you get a 2-minute penalty. And, you know, that is what it is. And especially when you're up 3-0 in the game, you know, that's, it's also different if it's a close game. You know, it's a 1-0 game, or, you know, it's, you got to, sometimes you got to take numbers and, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to get them tonight, but, you know, next time we play them, it's, you know, an opportunity, you know, because you let something like that away with once, it's going to happen again.
Talking to Chris Neal. So, I mean, you saw what the Sens did or not did not do. We saw some talking, but really nothing else beyond that. Do you think they should have done more in that situation?
Well, like I said, the game has changed since I played. You know, it's and I feel very blessed and fortunate. I played in three generations. I played, you know, a couple of years in the old school, my generation, and then the new generation to a certain degree. And, you know, so I've seen, you know, all different, you know, types, of, like the way the game's changed with the speed. And, you know, it's the game has played at a high pace now. And, you know, it's that's why you see, you know, even with contact and stuff, you know, with the suspensions, there's a lot more suspensions now than there ever used to be. And, you know, it's because it is such a fast game. And, you know, it's I always say it stems back to minor hockey with you know, contact, you know, they keep pushing contact out the other way when, you know, kids are getting 14, 15 years old. And, you know, that's when their hormones kick in. You have size differential and, you know, where it should be at my kid's age where he's 10 right now, there's no size differential. They're out there skating around with their head down. They run into each other. They just pop up and away they go again. But if you teach them at that age that I was always taught to go back, get the puck and, you know, get facing up ice to see who's coming. You know, now it's they go back and they keep their back to the play, and you wonder why there's hits from behind. And you know, I find it stems all the way back to minor hockey, and you know, seeing it with my own kids, and you know, it's tough to see because hitting, you know, it can be a game changing moment in the NHL, and you know, it's something that fans do like to see, and I'm all for like a hard checking, hard physical game, and you know, in battle, and you know, that's what the game's all about, and you know, it's that's why our top line so successful with Tkachuk, Batherson, and Norris. You know, they play the game the right way. They're physical. They get in on the forecheck. They aren't afraid to, to go in and get that puck first, knowing they might get hit. And you know, that's why I look at Anaheim when they had Getzlaf and Perry. You know, those guys played the same way, and I think that's going forward for the Sens. It's going to be you know, fun for our fan base to watch this. And, you know, I think it's incredible the way those guys play. And, You know, I think the longevity that they're going to have, and it creates so much more space for them, and you're starting to see it now.
Hey, a lot of teams in the league right now don't even deploy the Browns and the Watsons. How do you think DJ Smith felt waking up Wednesday morning about his team's response?
But like I said, it's, you know, with guys, you know, when it comes down to, you know, going out and just going in and, you know, running the goalie right away, you know, like the refs are going to be watching for that too. So it is a fine line, you know, because if you do get suspended, it's without pay. So, you know, it's one of those things that those guys, you know, are pretty cautious about that as well. But, you know, like there's other situations too. Like, you know, you watch the game, I watch it close. And, you know, I think there's a lot of guys in there that care. And, you know, but I look at a guy like Tim Stutz having to fight the one game. Well, that should never have happened. There's guys on the ice, and, you know, I was talking to him. He goes, oh, did you see my fight? I go, yeah, the difference is you shouldn't have had to fight. And, you know, he's such a skilled player, and, you know, he's effective with his speed. And, you know, so that's why you have those guys in the lineup to take care of stuff like that.
You very famously came into the lineup in the playoff series against the New York Rangers when Tanner Glass was kind of running around, for lack of a better term, and getting the best of Ottawa, and it seemed like the series – changed a little bit when you went after Tanner Glass. You uttered that very famous quote, I wanted to let him know his fun's done. Kind of take us through that moment and what you feel you achieved in that moment. I know it's a different situation with Dell's a goalie and Glass is a skater, but kind of take us through your thinking at that moment when you came into that series against the Rangers.
Well, I went out my first shift against them, and, you know, I'm like, you know, I was letting them know and knowing that, you know, he's probably not going to fight. And anyway, that's, you know, so then you start playing the game, and, you know, that is what it is. But in that situation, it happened so quick that I seen the delayed penalty, and, you know, I made the line change myself. There was a guy coming, and I hopped on, and away I went because I knew he had a two-minute penalty. If I take an instigator, then, you know, it's evened up. So, you know, that was the way my mind was thinking at the time. And, you know, you have a guy like Kyle Turris, you know, in that game, once they put me in, you know, I always joke with Kyle. I go, he had 9 hits that game, if you go back and look at the stats. And I go, he didn't have 9 hits all year, but he had 9 hits that game. And, you know, just guys played with a little more urgency, a little more fearless out there because they knew nothing would happen to them. And, you know, being able to... You know, obviously there's lots of guys around the league. Like you look at, you know, I think he does an unbelievable job as Ryan Reeves at it. You know, the New York Rangers are, you know, playing with lots of confidence, and, you know, their skill guys are protected because, you know, Ryan Reeves is out there. And, you know, in playoffs it's different because you got everyone thinks they're a tough guy out there and they're running around hitting and stuff. But that's where, you know, the guy's got to be able to play the game like a Ryan Reeves. And, you know, when I played, you know, I was able to play the game, chip in offensively and, you know, be a part of that as well. And, you know, the reason why I played as long as I did is because I bought into my role. And, you know, I was drafted as an offensive player from the OHL, 72 points my last year in the O. And so I had that offensive touch, but I looked at the right side and I carved out a niche for myself because I knew I wasn't beating out Elferson, Havlat, or Hossa for the top 3 spots on the team. So I'm like, okay, if I want to make it, that fourth line spot's that's my spot. And, you know, that's a lot of guys that they don't carve out a niche for themselves, and, you know, therefore they'll never end up, you know, playing in the NHL. And, you know, it's meanwhile, they're unbelievable players.
All right. Great stuff. Great answer. Listen, a lot of people were kind of wondering and wanting to get your perspective on what's been a really highly debated topic here in Ottawa in the days since the incident with Buffalo happened. So great to catch up with you. Continued success with the business, with the rink and everything. And we'll look forward to talking to you again down the road. Thanks for the time, though, this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on. And, you know, obviously I've marked my thoughts back in the city and doing a lot. And, you know, I seen one of his posts with the ODR challenge. And
yeah.
Anyway, my ODR is open all the time if he wants to come out and play with me.
All right. Challenge accepted. We'll pass it on. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. There's Chris Neal joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. All right, great stuff there from Chris Neal. And I know a bunch of people had said, you got to get Chris Neal on to talk about it. Yeah. So it was good to catch up with him. You know, without being overtly critical of the Sens' response, he kind of went down the road that you did, that if he had been on the team, he would have taken things in his hands a little differently.
Yeah, and I just go a step further, JR. And again, I'm not talking about them not being a close team. I watched Timmy Stutzla get banged around against Montreal. I thought this was the whole premise of, and again, Josh Brown keeping people off your goalie. Again, if you're not going to deploy anybody, JR, I understand it. But when you're deploying people to do this, like I said, man, I'm a little surprised that people don't feel it as much, that DJ Smith would not just been out of his mind post-game, and that's part of the frustration of the players, and the next day wouldn't have woken up sick to his stomach. This is a game against the Buffalo, and people are talking about, well, you showed them on the scoreboard, or I don't care if you're up 3-0 and you took five majors and you lost the game. I'm not asking anybody to get suspended. And as he pointed out, even now, you have to be careful, JR, if you run the goaltender, but hey, I can crowd the guy. I could fall on him. I'm not going to get suspended for that. I just really, as I said, I'll never lose the team aspect of, and this isn't about mentality of an era. I just feel sick watching Jake Batherson and watching my team that I've built that whole identity. Well, people say, you know what, they're always sticking together. Well, they didn't on Timmy Stutzla, and he just pointed out there, I'd never have Timmy Stutzla fight. So as I said, I can't imagine that this sits very well with the coaching staff and the management of the Ottawa Senators, personally.
Some texts have come in. I miss Chris Neal. Damn, we miss Chris Neal. Throw a little muffin in there, quote, love it. Yeah. You guys should clip that. Boys, that was awesome. Fantastic hearing from Chris. That's from Chris in Bridalwood. So just some of the reactions.
And I do, like, Austin Watson's not Chris Neal in a sense. First of all, he's not as good a player, and he's not quite as tough. But I appreciate what he's doing, JR. He's yapping, and I say that all the time. Like I said, with Josh Brown, I don't get it. And I hate to pick on anybody, but if you're telling me that this guy keeps people off of our goaltenders, how about if he keeps goaltenders off of our people? Like, honestly, be involved in the game. How do you like that?
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, but
that one?
But Ryan Reeves. If I'm in a young hockey team like Ottawa, and Watson is fine for that, that's what I want. Ryan Reeves is involved in a game. He's yelling. Will you go to young skilled players? They love it, JR. They eat it up that the guy, Matthew Barnaby, when he played, he'd go in the locker room and say, listen, every one of you guys know, anybody comes near you, I'm going after you. How do you guys feel? When we deployed Craig Berube and had, you know, tough guys in a lineup, how do you think the European players feel? The game has changed, but if I'm trying to evolve as a young hockey team, and I agree with the tack DJ Smith takes, but if I'm deploying these types of players, man, if you couldn't read a situation in the case of Josh Brown and get more involved, why would you not be cross-checking the crap out of any of their players in front of your own net? Like, why wouldn't you be? Right. On a night like that, like I said, and it just was way too quiet. And like I said, I even felt worse the next day waking up, where it just makes you sick to see what Drake Batherson is now, you know, how that was taken away on such a ridiculous play.
All right. So we'll post that if you want to listen to that again, or you just caught it. We'll post Chris Neal's interview again on our website at tsn1200.ca. But good stuff from there from Neeler. I'm sure that'll get people talking throughout the rest of today for sure as we head toward the game tonight versus Carolina. Again, the other news from the Sens, a couple things from this morning. First of all, Nick Holden signed to a one-year extension. Did you say 1.3, like that's the number?
That's what I got an email, 1.3 million. JR.
Okay, all right. So
very reasonable. Yep. Great contract.
And so a one-year deal for Nick Holden, and Igor Sokolov called up. Don't know if he for sure will play tonight, but of course, down both Batherson and Gambrell after being injured the other night. So they need some bodies in there. So looks like we'll see Sokolov for the Sens tonight as well. All right. With that, we'll put a wrap on the show. Thank you very much for listening. Wish we had a few more hours, but that's why we turn things over to the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Steve Lloyd.